ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So this morning we are reading first canto, chapter 3, verse number 1. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Suta vacha, jagrihe parusham rupam, bhagavan mahadadhibi, sambhutam shodashakalam, आदौ लोकस्य शिक्षया सुतोवाच जगृहे पारुषं रूपं भगवान् महदादिभिः सम्भूतं षोडशकलं आदौ लोकस्य सुतोवाच जगृहे पारुषं रूपं भगवान् महदादिभिः सम्भूतं षोडशकलं आदौ लोकसिसृक्षया। चक्रिहे पारुषं रूपं
भगवान् महदादिभिः
भगवान् महदादिभिः
सम्भूतां षोडशकालं आदौ लोकशिक्षया
सुतोवाच चक्रिहे पारुषं रूपं
चक्रिहे पारुषं रूपं Thank you. Word to word. Suta vacha, Suta said, Jagrihe accepted Parusham, plenary portion as the Purusha incarnation, Rupam, form, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Mahat Adibhi, with the ingredients of the material world, Sambhutam, thus there was the creation of Shodasha Kalam, 16 primary principles, Ado, in the beginning, Loka, the universes, Sisrikshaya, on the intention of creating. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sutta said, in the beginning of the creation, the Lord first expanded himself in the universal form of the Purusha incarnation and manifested all the ingredients for the material creation. And thus, at first, there was the creation of the 16 principles of material action. This was for the purpose of creating the material universe. Purport. The Bhagavad Gita states that the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna maintains these material universes by extending his planetary expansions. So this Purusha form is the confirmation of the same principle. The original personality of Godhead Vasudev or Lord Krishna, who is famous as the son of King Vasudev or King Nanda, is full with all opulences, all potencies, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. Part of his opulences are manifested as impersonal Brahman, and part of his opulences are manifested as Paramatma. This Purusha feature of the same personality of Godhead Shri Krishna is the original Paramatma manifestation of the Lord. There are three Purusha features in the material creation, and this form, who is known as the Karana Dokashai Vishnu, is the first of the three. The others are known as Garbhodakashai Vishnu and Kshirodakashai Vishnu, which we shall know one after another. The innumerable universes are generated from the skin holes of this Karana Dokashai Vishnu, and in each one of the universes, the Lord enters as Garbhodakashai Vishnu. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also mentioned that the material world is created at certain intervals and then again destroyed. This creation and destruction is done by the Supreme Will because of the conditioned souls, or the Nitya Baddha living beings. The Nitya Baddha living, the Nitya Baddha or the eternal conditioned souls, have the sense of individuality or ahankara, which dictates them sense enjoyment, which they are unable to have constitutionally. The Lord is the only enjoyer and all the others are enjoyed. The living beings are predominated enjoyers, but the eternally conditioned souls, forgetful of this constitutional position, have strong aspirations to enjoy. The chance to enjoy matter is given to the conditioned souls in the material world, and side by side, they are given the chance to understand their real constitutional position. Those fortunate living beings, living entities, who catch the truth and surrender onto the lotus feet of Vasudev after many, many births in the material world, join the eternally liberated souls and thus are allowed to enter into the kingdom of Godhead. After this, such fortunate living entities need not come again within the occasional material creation. But those who cannot catch the constitutional truth and are again merged into the Mahatattva at the time of annihilation of the material creation. When the creation is again set up, this Mahatattva is again let loose. This Mahatattva contains all the ingredients of the material manifestations, including the conditioned souls. Primarily, this Mahatattva is divided into 16 parts, namely the 5 gross material elements and the 11 working instruments or senses. It is like the cloud in the clear sky. In the spiritual sky, the effulgence of Brahman is spread all around, and the whole system is dazzling in spiritual light. The Mahatattva is assembled in some corner of the vast, unlimited spiritual sky, and the part which is thus covered by the Mahatattva is called the material sky. This part of the spiritual sky, called the Mahatattva, is only an insignificant portion of the whole spiritual sky. And within this Mahatattva, there are innumerable universes. All these universes are collectively produced by the Karanarakashaya Vishnu, called also the Mahavishnu, who simply throws his glands to impregnate the material sky. So yesterday, Madan Mohan Prabhu gave us a summary of what has been happening up till now, and he also mentioned that we'll be studying these incarnations. If you remember, the sages had questions, and now they are being answered. And one of the questions was about incarnations. they would like to hear. Now this incarnation, a Purusha incarnation, it describes here, this was for the purpose of creating the material universes. So basically, the Purusha incarnation, we hear that it's created for creating the material universes and further creations. This is a very important subject matter, actually, creating the universes. We see that in practically all of them, with few exceptions, we see that the prayers that are being offered in the Bhagavatam, all the devotees of the Lord, no matter whether they're ladies or whether they are men or others like Gajendra, they all bring this point when they're glorifying Krishna, his creative energy. Kind of like, I was kind of surprised to see that. Actually, yesterday when Madan Mohan Prabhu was giving class, he mentioned the very first verse from the Bhagavatam. And even the very first Bhagavatam, first verse, Vyasadev, that's spoken by Vyasadev, he's also mentioning, he mentions in the first verse about Tri Sarga Musha. He's talking about Janma Dasya Yato Anvayaditaras, that verse. In the third line, it says, Tejo Vari Midam Yatha Vinimayo Yatra Tri Sargo Musha. Only because of him, that is Krishna, do the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature. Then we see Sukadeva Goswami. He, actually it's Kunti afterwards. Mother Kunti doesn't so much mention as far as the creation elaborately, but she addresses Krishna as Vishvatman, which means the soul of the universe. Again, relating Krishna with his creative energy or with the universes. Then we see Sukadeva Goswami. I thought it was very interesting what he says. I mean, he has so many prayers that he says before he speaks. But one verse that kind of caught my attention, he says, may the Supreme Personality, this is in the second canto, fourth chapter, so it's in the very beginning, basically. May the Supreme Personality of God, who enlivens the materially created bodies of the elements by lying down within the universe, and who, in his Purusha incarnation, causes the living being to be subjected to the 16 divisions of material modes, which are his generator, be pleased to decorate my statements. That's pretty far out, yeah? He's asking this Purusha incarnation, he is offering respects and saying, may he be pleased to decorate my statements. It's something that is, I guess from my perspective, was a little unusual to offer that kind of prayers and ask him for his blessings so that when he speaks nicely for the enlightenment of those who are listening, especially Maharaj Parikshit. We see their prayers by Mother Devahuti. She says, this is the first verse that she expresses when she's offering prayers to Kapila. She says, Brahma is said to be unborn because he takes birth from the lotus flower which grows from your abdomen, which you lie in the ocean at the bottom of the universe. But even Brahma simply meditated upon you, whose body is the source of unlimited universes. Although here it's more referring to Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, but still the idea is that she's praying to Kapildev about his creation. See the same thing with Dhruva Maharaj, he also says prayers like that, and so on. You will see, if you ever do the research, prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So certainly it's something that is important for the devotees when they are thinking about their Supreme Lord. To be honest, when I saw this verse, and this was before I went to for my pilgrimage, Shri Gaurang is so good with like getting these the schedule out with the verses and everything. So before I even left, that was like a month ago, she already had the verses for us to see. And when I saw the verse, I thought, oh no. This is what I have to speak on. It means studying the whole Purusha incarnation and what happens, the Pradhan and the Prakriti and this and that. So I wasn't too enthused about it, and I kind of said, okay, let me just park it, and when I come back, I will look at it. So I did. And I think that was the best thing that I did do, although it gave me less time to prepare. But, you know, when you go to Vrindavan Dham, Vrindavan Dham is very merciful and always will give you lots of jewels. We know from Krishna Das Kaviraj, when he was asked by Lord Nityananda to go to Vrindavan Dham in his dream, he got a lot of jewels, 10, 12, 13 jewels that he mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Vrindavan Dham is merciful to everybody, so I was also one of those people who got some jewels from Vrindavan Dham, and that is through the mercy of his devotees. Actually, this chatter that I have is from Vrindavan, from Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan. So that's one jewel I got. But the jewel that I wanted to speak today was what Satchinanda Maharaj expressed and encouraged us. He encouraged us to, with this understanding of mamatva, which means, he called it mindness. I know there's such a word as mindness, but basically the quality of something being mind. So Maharaj was saying that we need to cultivate that quality of my Krishna. When something is yours, then you develop affection for it. Maharaj is known for always saying, my dear devotees. So right away when he says, my dear devotees, you kind of feel close to him. And then he says, I warmly, affectionately warm you, welcome you here. And so that my dear devotees, my aspect of mindness helps you become close to somebody. So Maharaj was talking about that, how we need to develop that feeling of Krishna is mine. And when we develop that feeling of Krishna is mine, then we feel affectionate. We feel affectionate to our family members. When we go to the dham, you always think about devotees that you know, and especially if they're coming from your temple, you feel like they're yours, so to speak. So there were quite many of us that were from our family members, you know, Nanda and Vegvati and Yadubar Prabhu and Kirtaniya and Madhava and myself and Shabadarshini. And then we had a whole crew, since we regularly visit Krishna House, there were a whole crew from Krishna House, Madhu Mangal and Stephen, and there were 5-6 of them, Gabriel, Devavan, and then there were a couple from Jacksonville. So quite many crew of our family members there. And there was one more, by the way, those who have been here for a few years, Bhakta Josh. Does everybody remember Bhakta Josh?
Yeah.
And Bhakta Josh from here went to New York. When I went there, I was like shocked to see he was sitting there behind the sound system with his saffron and shaved head and everything. And I said, Bhakta Josh, that's you? He said, yes, that's me. And he was in Vrindavan. And then before I knew, a couple days, there was an initiation and he got initiated. And his name is Ujjula Das. He got initiated by Satchinanda Maharaj. So those are jewels, I guess that's a jewel. But yes, talking about my. So when we approach, so with that consciousness coming back from Vrindavan, and I looked at this verse again, and I thought, okay, I don't want to think that this is the Purusha incarnation that I have to study I have to figure him out and what happens then. But no, this is my Krishna. My Krishna, or our Shyam Sundar, we see our Shyam Sundar. We see him, he's playing the flute, yeah? Every morning we when we come and greet the deities, we say our prayers, yeah? We say, Venum konvantam aravindam dalaya taksham. We're saying, Venum, oh, you're playing the flute, you have got lotus eyes, you have a peacock feather, you're so beautiful. So we're saying these prayers. So it is our Shyam Sundar who is expanding himself into the Purusha incarnation. And actually, another prayer that we sing in the morning is what? Angani yasya sakalendya ritti manti. It's all about pashanti panti kalayam chiram jaganti. It talks, you know what it talks about? Universes. It talks about how he creates and maintains the universes. So even ourselves, we don't even realize, even ourselves, we say two prayers in the morning, one about his beauty and one about what he actually can do. With his limbs, he can do everything else. Any of his limbs can do anything else. So even in our prayers, when we are coming and seeing the deities, we're talking about his creation. So it is about, we're talking about our Krishna, our Shyam Sundar, our Krishna and Balaram, our Gornitai, who are actually doing this creation. And this is confirmed because Sunday I was meditating on this verse, and I was thinking about Garbhadakashai Vishnu, how his Krishna is lying on the on Sheshanag and everything. And next morning I come for Mangal Arati, Krishna confirmed it, that's me. I could believe I came, and right behind Krishna was the Sheshanag on that backdrop. I don't know if you remember that backdrop he has. So it was like Krishna was smiling, yes, that's me, I am the one. And Balaram was standing right there next to him and saying, yep, that's me, Sheshanag. And I was thinking, yeah, okay, here it is. I don't know how many times they put that backdrop on, but Krishna was saying, yes, it is me. It is me. It is me, Shyam Sundar, who is actually expanding himself in Purusha incarnation. So when we love somebody, we want to know everything about them, even though no matter how technical it is. So no matter how technical it is, no matter how difficult it is, if we actually love somebody, if somebody is yours, then you want to know everything about them. And if somebody is not yours, but you want to make them yours, then you want to know about them. Isn't that right? One moment. You want to know about them. And so keep that in mind while I go through some technical stuff. So that's why I thought I should warn you, because it's not something that that is something that it's at least for somebody like me, it's a little hard. But we have to do that. We have to. Krishna Das Kaviraj mentions in the Adi Lila, that how it's important that we understand Siddhanta. He gives a whole description in the first, in the second chapter, I think, establishing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not Narayan. And he gives a whole explanation of it. And then he says that it's important that we take the time to understand this. Siddhanta boliye chitte na kara alas. Don't be lazy in trying to understand the Siddhanta. So what happens here? The Purusha. So first of all, let me get my notes here. So the original personality of Godhead is called Swayam Rupa. There it is. So Krishna is Swayam Rupa. Then he manifests himself as Swayam Prakasha. And Swayam Prakasha is divided into two. Please don't fall asleep. This is about our Krishna. So Swayam Prakasha is divided into two. One is called Prabhava Prakasha, and the other is called Vaibha Prakash. So Prabhaprakash is basically when Krishna manifests himself into many, like for example in the Rasa dance or the with the 16,100 palaces, he expands himself. They're exactly like Krishna. Nothing different about him. So that's called Prabhaprakash. And the other Vaibhaprakash describes that they may have different moods or different features, like our Balaram. Our Balaram is same exactly as Krishna, but he has a different color, and he might have a different mood. Then from Vaibhaprakash, there is expansion, Tad Ekatmaka Rupa, which is divided into two, Vilas and Swamsa. Now Vilas is, we've heard about the four-armed Vishnu forms expanded in Vaikuntha from Balaram. And then Vilas goes further, Prabha Vilas, which is the first quadruple, and then Vaibha Vilas, which is the second quadruple. So this is, again, our Shyam Sundar is doing all this. From him, all this expansion is happening. And the second part I mentioned, Swamsa. Swamsa means part, so it's not full. So Swamsa manifestation, from Swamsa manifestation comes different avatars, which is Leela avatar, Purusha avatar, Guna avatar, Shaktiavesha avatar, Manvantara avatar, and Yuga avatar. So one of them is, I mentioned, Purusha avatar. So this is what we're studying today, Purusha avatar. So Purusha avatar, the first incarnation of Purusha avatar is what we're studying today, is Karano Dakashai Vishnu. So how does our Shyam Sundar bring material universes? How does he create the material universes? We know, we have heard it. He lies down. In okay, well let me actually read it from Srila Prabhupada's purports here. Okay. Now Mahavishnu lies down, listen to this please very carefully. Mahavishnu lies down in some part of the spiritual sky by his own free will. Thus he lies on the ocean of Karana, from where he glances over his material nature, and the Mahatattva is at once created. So is that clear to everybody? What's happening here? Yeah? He is lying down in some part of the spiritual sky by his own free will, and that ocean is called Karana, from where he glances over his material nature. And the Mahatattva is at once created. Thus, electrified by the power of the Lord, the material nature at once creates innumerable universes, just as in due course a tree decorates itself with innumerable grown fruits. So it's very simple. But let me tell you another place that what Prabhupada says. He expands, this is in second canto, fifth chapter, verse number 33. It describes, in a corner of the spiritual sky of Brahma Jyoti, a spiritual cloud sometimes appears, and the covered portion is called the Mahatattva. The Lord then, by his plenary portion as Mahavishnu, lies down within the water of the Mahatattva. And the water is called Karna Jal. So I don't know if you caught two different statements by Prabhupada. Did anybody catch two different things here? Yes? Yes, Sri Devi?
Well, and when he says that the Mahavishnu creates the Mahatattva, and the second one, it says that he lies within the Mahatattva.
Yes. Yes. Previous one says that he creates it, he glances over it, and that's how creation happens. Here, Prabhupada is saying that the Mahatattva is there, and the Lord actually enters into the Mahatattva. That water is called Karna Ocean. And while Mahavishnu sleeps within the causal ocean, universes are generated with his breathing. So I don't know which one is which. Does he create most of the time, and maybe others can. Yes, Sri Rakam Prabhu.
accomplish, Sri Prabhupada wrote that the Mahatattva is the sum bodum of all the desires of divine entities. The Mahatattva is the aggregate collection of all the desires of the living entities. And that's how the material world is formed.
Yeah. Thank you.
So,
I guess my question
it means
was
if that's there, then maybe the Lord does not create the Mahatattva. But we know at the time of annihilation all the souls enter the body of Mahavishnu. Then they come out. But in terms of the Mahatattva, it seems that's a different.
Okay. Well, either way, whether he is before, if he is outside, or he enters in and then does it, somehow there, this is how the universes are created. And as we know, in the previous verse, Mother Mohan Prabhu was talking about the reason why he does the creation is why? It's because he wants to bring us back. So it's because of his love for us that he creates the universes, and in that way he gives us a chance to meditate upon him, hear about him, hear his incarnations, and we have become attracted to it rather than, like Prabhupada is talking about, ahankar, not wanting to enjoy on our own rather than hearing Krishna and serving him. So he gives us a chance to actually come back to him. And so that's why he actually creates these universes. But one thing I was thinking also, because it's kind of technical, I was thinking that our Bhagavatam, we understand it's about rasa between Krishna and his devotees. And so each verse has that. So one way to see these verse, for me at least, was that how Krishna is so amazing as far as he's very creative. He could be just sitting down in Goloka Vrindavan and poof, all the universes just happen, yeah? But he's very creative. I mean, nice way to think about, like, okay, I'm going to have this ocean and I'm going to lie down, and while I'm lying down, all these bubbles will come out of my body and universes, and then in that universe, then I'm going to enter in there, and then like from my navel, and then Brahma will come. I mean, wow, what an imagination Krishna has. This is our Lord. Nothing is boring. Everything he does is so beautiful. He's so creative. I mean, even when you come and see Krishna morning here, you see so, like, look at Madhuri Gopi. She just like, Krishna and Balaram, they're just like, wow, so beautiful. There, here we are, you know, that kind of feeling, you know, you can't miss them. But that's what we can get from if we can't even understand all the technical stuff. To be honest, after reading and studying for the class about the technical things, I think maybe I was a little more confused than I started off. And I'm thinking, well, this is also Krishna's, because we, in one sense, we can't understand everything about Krishna, because if we could understand everything about Krishna, then Krishna would not be God. The beauty about Krishna is that he is very mysterious. But we still have to do our part. And that is the way to do our part, is by actually trying to understand him. That's a very important point that Krishna Das Kaviraj mentions in his in the same place. He says, a sincere student should not neglect the discussion of such conclusions, considering them controversial, for such discussions strengthen the mind. Thus, one's mind becomes attached to Sri Krishna. He says this statement after he has established that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not Narayan, after he does that, can you believe what he says? He says, actually, Narayan is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if somebody says that Krishna comes from Narayan, then that statement is also true. So after he goes through a length of establishing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not Narayan, then he says, well, you know what? Either statement is true. So here it is. After he says that, then he says, by such conclusive studies, I know the glories of Lord Chaitanya. Only by knowing these glories can one become strong and fixed in attachment to him. So yes, we study these, the creation and understand what is pradhan. Pradhan, by the way, is something that's is not touched, and it becomes prakriti after Mahavishnu glances. So yes, it's important to understand all these subject matter. But another thing that we can understand from there is that Krishna is very creative. He likes to do things in a very colorful way. And in that way, as we understand Krishna, his qualities, then we become attached to our Krishna. Then we become attached to our Shyam Sundar. And that is our goal of life, is to become attached to him. Yes. So anybody has any questions on this subject matter? Yes, Prabhu. Yamaraj Prabhu. Don't ask me any technical stuff that you can ask Pran Govinda Prabhu.
Okay. Thank you for your class, my mother. What's sort of perplexing to me is, okay, so the conditioned souls left Krishna, and because they have material desires, they're eternally conditioned. So now, hypothetically, if they didn't have, if that didn't happen, then we wouldn't have the material universe. Is that right? Is that right? Okay.
I guess so. What came first, which, this, that, and yeah.
Well, should we be looking at it like that? What comes first, or whatever?
I think the best way to see is that this is where we're at, and what should we do about getting out of this material world. It's interesting, when Chaitanya Charitamrita was here, he was mentioning a very, very important point. He said, if you look at through the Bhagavatam, so many devotees go through so many difficult situations. He says, all the other scriptures deal with it in a different way, like karma and, you know, whatever. He says, but Bhagavatam deals with all the difficult situations that devotees go through hearing and chanting. That is the solution that is given. It doesn't address their karma. It doesn't address that. It just addresses what is the solution, and that is hearing and chanting. Yes, super comfortable.
Very good. So this is our explanation of creation. Now, in the scientific world, the whole scientific world believes that the Big Bang theory is the explanation for how the universes came about, and their evidences are cosmic radiation and expanding planets. Planets are expanding, and so they're saying that these are evidences that once all matter was in one point, and then it exploded, and start to expand, and this is how the world, and the whole scientific world believes this right now. Some of the greatest minds in science believe this. So what would you convince them?
I'm not going to try to convince them. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give them some prasadam here.
Or a bhagavatam.
I'll give them some prasadam, so I think that will convince. And that has convinced a lot of people. That has convinced all of us, so. Any other questions? Yes, Sri Devi.
Well, it's a little bit, it's a question. So,
It's what? Technical question? Okay, let me see if I can. Let me see if my Shyam Sundar will help me to answer your.
I'm not sure. I'm sorry. So, yeah, maybe someone else can also answer. But like sometimes you read the material world is an insignificant portion in the material sky, but sometimes you read it's like a quarter.
Yeah.
Do you have any insight on that?
Yeah, it's funny that you thought. I thought about the same thing, that somewhere it says 1/4 and then you hear, and then my speculation is that it's insignificant.
Because how can we, it's like infinite, so how can we even measure it, right?
Yeah, because the spiritual world is actually ever expanding. So it's not like the spiritual world is limited. This is it. My understanding that's always expanding. So the spiritual world is always expanding, then hopefully the material world is shrinking. Yes, Sukhada?
Sometimes Srila Prabhupada says, just to get an idea, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, just to get an idea. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say, too, that we used to hear that, you know, we think the material world is, like, so great, but there's so many more living entities that never even left the spiritual world. We're the insignificant portion decided to leave and be independent. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
It's a glorious spiritual world.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. And there's Prashadam here, so this is, I'm sharing some of the jewels that I got